Coming to you via the internet and your friends at PipesMagazine.com, it's the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. A show with a host that is so bad if he went out on strike, the show would get better. Now, I invite you to sit back, relax, the smoking lamp is lit. Here's your host, Brian Levine.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. Yes, the sometimes irreverent, sometimes educational, but always entertaining weekly pipe smoking broadcast. And I am your host, Brian Levine, reminding you, you must be of legal smoking age wherever you are in order to listen to this fine show. So if you're not, go ahead, turn it off. All right, there you go. And this week's show in pipe parts, a reading and celebration of St. Patrick's Day coming up. And you'll enjoy this if you didn't get a chance to read it. I'm going to read it to you. My guest this week is one of those journeyman pipe smokers, Dylan Schlender, who I got to know through his podcast, The Reels of Justice, and you'll hear us talk about that. Music, mailbag, and part two of my two-part rant rave. So we'll finish that off from last week. Looks like there was a lot of, I gotta be honest with you, looks like there was a lot of fun had at the Muletown show. I watched a couple of videos on YouTube of it and talked to a few folks. Looks like it was a great success, so congratulations to them. Jealous that I was not able to get there, but at the same time, you know what, happy that I'm getting rested up, so I'm starting to feel a little better. Maybe getting rid of this allergy cough thing. So, happy that went well. As this show goes out, I believe we are coming up on 4 weeks, 4.5 weeks before I head off to Chicago for the Chicago International Pipe and Tobacchiana Collectors Expo, better known as the Big Show. Yeah, the Big Show. I will be arriving on April 11th. So, yeah, we're 4.5 weeks away. Wow, I'm excited. All right. So, hope to see a lot of you there. Hope to get a chance to sit down and have a bowl with a whole bunch of you in their new, bigger smoking tent. And, I'm looking forward to it. It's been since October since I've been to a pipe show. And now that I saw those videos of the Muletown show, well, now I'm really amped up and ready for Chicago. So, hope to see a lot of you there. All right, let's get the show rolling. So everybody sit back, relax, fire up a bowl. Thank you all for tuning in, and here we go.
Excuse me, Mr. Collins, but the show is starting. They need you on stage.
Just 1 minute there, Charlie. I'm placing a bid for this great item on 10bids.com. Ever heard of them?
Oh, sure, the Pipe Collector's Auction site. Well, I just sold some nice things on there myself. Say, you don't see much of that anymore.
Yes, you sure don't, Charlie. But 10bids.com sure has it. They have vintage and luxury tobaccos, pipes, accessories, you name it.
Tom, baby, we need you on stage.
Okay, Ed. Charlie, take over for me, would you please?
You got it, boss.
Visit 10bids.com, the Pipe Collector's Auction site, and sign up for free today.
Hey, Mr. Collins, you won!
We have arrived at 155. Missouri Meerschaum Company has been authentically crafting corncob pipes continually for 155 years. To celebrate, we're hosting a 155th anniversary celebration on Saturday, September 28th, 2024. There will be ticketed working plant tours, an exhibit on the corncob pipe industry by Skillet Fork Pipe Museum, a live podcast of the Gray Woody Show, a smoking tent for your enjoyment, and so much more. The 155th anniversary celebration will be held in conjunction with Downtown Washington's Fall Festival of the Arts and Crafts, with food, beverages, live music, and over 100 vendors. Visit our Facebook page at Cool Smoking Pipes for fun event updates and more information. Missouri Meerschaum Company, since 1869.
Hey And we are back on the Pipes Magazine radio show. All right, for pipe parts. So I've mentioned to you several times to make sure that you subscribe and check out the Daily Reader at smokingpipes.com, because you get the writing of Chuck Stanion and so many others. Well, this St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and this year I'll be celebrating St. Patrick's Day with finishing off a I've only got like one or two shots left of a bottle of Redbreast 12-year-old Irish whiskey. This past Sunday, Chuck Stanion wrote an article for the Daily Reader, and it's called Paddy Lerangan's 100th Birthday. So I'm going to read it to you because it's a lot of fun. And then when you want to see the pictures, you go over to their website at smokingpipes.com/smokingpipesblog, and you can read it and see the pictures. Anyway, here is what Chuck wrote, and I got his permission to read it because that's just how, you know, courtesy works. It goes like this. It's difficult to imagine anyone who has more profoundly embodied and defined the workmanship and culture of Cap'n Peterson than Paddy Lerangan, who celebrated his 100th birthday on the 7th of this month. Of those 100 years, he spent most handcrafting pipes and training new craftspeople to do the same. Paddy was trained as a pipe carver by Jimmy Malone, who learned directly from Charles Peterson himself, making Paddy the closest craftsman to Charles' own techniques. Peterson is a workshop dedicated not only to the traditions of their own unique pipe language, but to the nurturing of its staff, and Paddy's family history is deeply intertwined with that of Peterson. Paddy comes from a family of loyal Peterson craftspeople. His parents met while working at Peterson. His Aunt Nellie, who worked there for 59 years, was there when 22-year-old Paddy joined the workshop in 1946. His brother, silversmith Liam Lerangan, worked for decades at Peterson, and Bernard Lerangan, Paddy's son, worked there for more than a decade. Many Peterson employees have spent most of their lives at the fabled workshop. Here in the U.S., the average tenure with a single company is 4 years, hardly a blip on the timeline of many at Peterson. That sort of loyalty, dedication, and commitment with a job seems almost mythological. While many of us are drawn to lifelong relationships with Peterson pipes, the same can be said for those who make them. Paddy retired in 1975 after 30 years of pipe making, but it lasted only for the weekend. He retired on Friday and returned the following Monday on a part-time basis, and he continued that for another 20 years. When I started in 1997, says production manager Jonathan Fields, Paddy worked only 3 or 4 hours a week because he had retired. But he'd come back to do training with people, which was mainly me at the time. So 100 years after the system pipe was first being developed and patented, Jonathan was able to learn the craft from someone just a single generation of carvers removed from Charles Peterson. I did most of my training under Paddy, learning to work the lathes and other machines we still use today. He taught me some of the silver work and how to bend stems and things like that. Paddy was involved in much of the training of the current generation of craftspeople. We had a lot of work on the floor during that time, says Jonathan. There was a big influx of new people to accommodate the volume. Paddy came back to do the training and help out the company. His commitment lasted beyond his retirement. He was dedicated to making sure the company prospered and the pipes maintained quality. He had certainly acquired the skills to do so. Paddy started at the workshop with silversmithing, using chisels and lathes to turn the silver bands and mounts. The learning curve was steep, and he spent considerable time on silver before he started learning to turn bowls, then moving on to doing repairs, of which there were plenty. He turned the replacement stems by hand and learned the intricacies of pipe making by fixing what could go wrong. He began making mouthpieces, turning the tenons by hand, and he began building his well-known affection for Peterson's space-fitting stems. Space-fitting stems maintain a gap between the face of the shank and the expanded part of the stem, allowing for any wear of the tenon over the long life of the pipe. The deluxe system space fitting is Patty's favorite pipe, says pipe manager and senior craftsman Joe Kenny, who worked at the same time as Patty for 2 decades. Joe is another long-term craftsman. He's been with Peterson for 48 years and now uses the same machinery that Patty used. He would hand make those stems 40 or 50 years ago out of vulcanite rod. When I spoke with him last week, he talked about system stems, how the smoke channel through the stem tapers in a graduated bore. Patty used to make the drill bits necessary for that out of metal files, and he hollowed the channels with the drills that he handmade. Like Jonathan, Joe learned much of his craft from Patty. Patty did the pipe repairs, and he showed me. One that we did probably most often is plugging the bottom of the tobacco chamber where it would be scraped out aggressively. We used alabaster to do that, and they actually smoked like new afterward. Patty was relied upon for just about everything while he was with Peterson. He repaired machinery, developed processes, repaired pipes, performed sandblasting and rustication, crafted meerschaum bowl linings, threaded the bone for screw-in stems, trained personnel, bent stems, graded briar, crafted silver, and mastered every function necessary for Peterson pipes to look and perform at an optimum level for most of the 20th century. When production increased to meet demand, says Joe, and we were adding more shapes, Patty developed some of the necessary processes, and he brought different manufacturing stages to a level where we would produce more and be more efficient while maintaining high standards. It's difficult now than when Patty was here. It's different now than when Patty was here, says Jonathan. We have more stain and stem colors now than Patty had access to. Half of our colors didn't exist 50 years ago, and our processes have streamlined and become more efficient. We have easy access to buffing wheels that would have been hard to get 50 or 60 years ago, and the acrylics would have been only black back then, and probably the amber and yellow as well. Patty used to do a lot of things by hand, says Joe, but when production increased and more shapes were added, it became very difficult to do as much by hand. Patty developed some of the necessary automation, and he brought different manufacturing stages to a level where we could produce more. Patty may have been from a different era of pipe making, but he made most of his available materials, and his creativity is still felt today. He designed the first system calabash, which became the first shape in the Sherlock Holmes series. He designed all of the original Sherlock Holmes shapes. He also designed the Danmore system, which was a system pipe that could sit on its own, and he was responsible for the Peterson Plateau Top freehand. I've got an engineering mind, says Patty, in the Peterson pipe, page 35. I was always interested in engineering. It helped me work out all these problems. I was the fellow that tried to solve all the problems. Although he no longer smokes, Patty is quoted in the Peterson pipe, page 34, as having been fond of system pipes in general, but my favorite shape is the 20s 314. I used to smoke Aaronmore all the time. A legend in Peterson pipe lore, Patty elicits admiration from the people of Peterson as well as knowledgeable enthusiasts. I met Patty Larrigan in 2019, says Peterson managing director Josh Burgess. We had the honor of hosting him and his brother Liam at a reception in Sallynoggin held to commemorate the publication of Mark Irwin and Gary Malmberg's The Peterson Pipe. It was a special moment to meet and talk with Patty. Was to make a living connection to Peterson past. The current staff held him in a kind of reverence as he walked through the factory and sat at machines he operated. Patty's presence presented a historic connection to the history of Peterson for many that day, but he challenged us in a way too, says Josh. Patty was a skilled craftsman as well as a creative inventor of many pipes that are now regarded as Peterson classics. Talking with Patty reinforced our commitment to making better pipes, to becoming better craftsmen, and to celebrating our own traditions. I feel a deep sense of gratitude to Patty, not only for a life spent in service to Peterson, but for inspiring a new generation of us at Peterson to commit ourselves to our traditions. Patty Larrigan enjoyed an illustrious career with Peterson and made an indelible mark on the modern Peterson pipe that we appreciate today. On the occasion of his centenary birthday, many of us will reflect on his contributions, appreciate the design and innovations for which he is responsible, and reflect on the remarkable 100 years that this master craftsman has experienced, the smoking instruments that he's contributed, and the historic developments in pipe making that he has achieved. And that, of course, was written much better than I read it by Chuck Stanion. And several quotes in there, several references in there to the Peterson pipe, the story of Cap'n Peterson, the book that came out in 2018 by Mark Irwin and Gary Malmberg. Hope you enjoyed that. And they've got a lot of great historical pictures. So go over to the smokingpipes.com daily reader and look for March 8th's entry by Chuck Stanion. And in just a moment, my conversation with Dylan Schlender.
This is Internet Radio.
Take a look at your pipe rack. Are all those briars and mirrors constant companions in your rotation? Or are there some that you gravitate to more than others? Are there some that you simply don't smoke anymore? Through SmokingPipes.com's estate trade program, you can transform those underused pipes into immediate cash or store credit. Just send us your pipes and we'll unpack, inspect, and evaluate them based on extensive market research and over 20 years of experience. Then we'll contact you with a detailed offer for your choice of cash or store credit, valid on any items in our vast selection of pipes, tobacco, cigars, and accessories. If you're not happy with our quote, we'll return your pipes free of charge to domestic addresses. It's that simple. Join the thousands of Smoking Pipes customers who have benefited from this program and start your trade today by contacting us at 888-366-0345. That's 888-366-0345.
We're back on the Pipes Magazine radio show, and joining us for more of those journeyman pipe smokers, that's right, the guys 5 to 10 years, you know, they made it past the burning tongues and the burned out pipes and the cherry aromatics, is somebody that I got to know really recently from a podcast, and we'll talk about that. Dylan Schlender, welcome to the Pipes Magazine radio show.
Thank you for having me, Brian. It's a real honor to be here.
Did I pronounce your name right?
You actually did on the first time. It's wow. Schlender. I get a lot of Skellenders, a lot of Schneiders, but you nailed it.
Okay, good. Well, that'll be the last time. For the rest of it, you'll be Dylan.
That's fine.
So where'd you grow up? When did you grow up? Have you grown up? What'd you want to be when you grew up?
So I'm from Eastern Connecticut. I still reside there now, close to the casinos, if people are familiar with Mohegan Sun or Foxwoods. And I've basically lived here my whole life, work from home in the IT industry. And I have a lovely family. I've got two beautiful kids. And it's very nice being out here, though, you know, it is Connecticut, so... It's not the best, but I'm very close to Rhode Island, so that's the benefit, I suppose.
Wait. So works from home in Eastern Connecticut, is that code for I really work on the nuclear subs at Mystic?
No. So I do not work for like General Dynamics or EB. I know lots of people who do. My father was actually in the Navy for 22 years, and that's why we live in this part of the state that we do. He was a master chief when he retired, and we just never left the area.
Master chief. Wow. So that's like the person that actually knows everything about the boat, as opposed to the captain or the XO or those, you know, fancy people.
That's right. So he's usually the guy in the, like, if you watch submarine movies, he's usually kind of like the old timer who's telling the young guys what to do and get things done, you know, while the captain's standing there looking regal.
Yeah. Or the the young guy looks at what the captain just told me to do. This, really? And then the XO looks at you and gives him the wink and says, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Don't do that. Yeah. So, all right. So that explains why you ended up in Eastern Connecticut.
Yes.
How, IT, really? Would you want to just turn computers off and turn them back on all day?
A story I tell, this is actually very funny. In the very first episode of the cartoon, The Jetsons, George gets home and he's like, oh, the day was terrible. I had to restart the machine twice. And that's literally what my job is now. So I just think that's hilarious because I'm in application management and server administration. So, complex applications that are running in the cloud, I make sure like they're up and running and available for the end users, you know. So it's kind of like being a fireman, you know, like sometimes during the day there's not a lot to do, but when something goes down and there's an emergency, it's a good thing I'm at the station, as it were, so I can respond and get things up and running again.
All that stuff you said sounded great, but I have no idea what it was, so thank you. When and how did pipe smoking come into your life?
So, in 2018, you know, my life was kind of changing a bit, and a buddy of mine, he had always talked about how we should start smoking pipes, and well, I said, you know what, this is as good a time as any to do it, let's give it a shot. And so I went on smokingpipes.com and I bought a Winslow poker, and because I really like the Danish style, because I like that orange look that a lot of them have, that kind of color, that kind of grain. And it was a really good smoke. And he bought, I forget what he got, I think he got a Savinelli or something. So we just ended up hanging out for a little bit, trying to learn how to smoke our new pipes, you know. And that, so it's, I was a cigar smoker. Originally, I still smoke cigars, just move to the pipe, you know, I really took to it.
So you skipped over the basket pipe and cherry aromatic phase and went right to the Danish handcrafted pipes. And
I wasn't interested in, I didn't want to make the mistake of going cheap for like a new hobby. I mean, and it wasn't a terribly expensive pipe. I think it was still under $100. But where I did mess up, Brian, was the tobacco choice. Because in my head, I was thinking like cigars, the really premium stuff's going to be really expensive. So I didn't want to get something really expensive and just to waste it. But what I bought was a big tin of Captain Black. Was it the Royal Blue or?
Oh, the extra fruity.
Yeah, and I packed my Winslow every single night trying to smoke the ball down, and so I wasn't actually enjoying that tobacco, but I just thought it was important like to get the pipe broken in properly, you know. I was just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. And right around the time where I was thinking, you know, maybe this isn't going to be for me, my same buddy who wanted to start smoking pipes, he actually brought over some Bulkin Sassini, first English Bulkin style blend I ever had. And that was the keystone moment. That's where everything turned. When I smoked that, I was like, this is delicious. This is fantastic. This is the kind of tobacco I want to be smoking. And I've been a big Bulkin or an English smoker ever since.
So that was, it was kind of your aha moment was, yeah, I like this smoky, overburnt, raspy stuff.
Yes, I know it's not your, it's not your favorite, but you know, so that's good, because at the rate you buy tobaccos, that means there's plenty of good English out there for the rest of us. You know, we don't have to compete. You can have all the Virginia Periques. I'll take the English.
Yeah, no, well, listen, I've got plenty of tobacco for now, according to my wife. did you have anybody help you pack, you know, learn how to pack a pipe, or was there a YouTube channel that stuck out?
Oh, so that's a good question. There was no one in my life who was smoking pipes at the time. I don't even have like my grandfather, he smoked Camels, right? Like he never, like, so I never even had like an old relative that smoked pipe like so many people do. So when I went online, I just assumed I could Google like pipe smoking, like how to smoke a tobacco pipe. Yeah. And you'd get like a plethora of answers. And there just was, there wasn't a lot. There's compared to now, now there's tons of stuff. But at the time, there wasn't much. And what I ended up finding first was Country Squire Radio.
Yep.
They did a YouTube channel as well. So I caught the YouTube version of their podcast and I became enamored with their podcast, which ultimately led me to finding your podcast as well, Brian. Mm-hmm. And so between those two podcasts, yours and Country Squire Radio, that's where I really got my education on pipe smoking. And I tried the methods that you guys would talk about, you know, the different packing methods, tamping properly, things of that nature. So it was very much a crash course because I have plenty of time to listen to podcasts. So I would always have you or Country Squire on in the background in those early days of getting started.
Yeah, you can. I guess you can have a podcast on and then you just hit pause and then you say, just turn that computer off and turn it back on again.
And then, yeah, pretty much.
Right? Yeah, and then call me back in 20 minutes if that didn't work. Yeah, so that, all right. What do you remember at the beginning of your trials and tribulations? What were kind of what was the pipe that you thought, oh my God, I want one of those? What was your what was your early holy grail?
The like most people who get into it, I would have to say it would have been a premium churchwarden. Mm-hmm. I can't necessarily say what brand or anything would have caught my eye. But what I ultimately ended up getting, I was a Volvin churchwarden, okay. Which it's a great pipe. It's a great smoker. And true to form, I only smoke the what do they call it now? The Southern Fantasy blends. I don't want to get anyone sued from Country Squire in that. So that was the holy grail. Was once I got comfortable with it, I knew I wanted to spend some good money to get a really cool church warden. So once I got that, and, you know, and I got like the Hobbit tobacco for it, I just thought that was really cool.
When he said Southern Fantasy, the first thing that came to my mind was three girls named Bobby Sue. but then I changed. All right. So fast forward, how many pipes do you own now?
So right now I own maybe about 20.
Okay.
And 11 of them are all from one carver, the Italian carver, Iacono, if I'm saying his name right.
Tonino Iacono. Yeah.
And the first couple pipes I bought were the Danish style. I bought a Winslow Poker and then a Bent Dublin from Jaws. And then I wanted to get an olive wood pipe because I had just listened to the olive wood pipe episode of Country Squire, probably. And Iacono has beautiful olive wood pipes. And I bought a Volcano olive wood that is one of my favorite pipes for sure. But that just opened the floodgates because that was an amazing smoker. And I have his page on smoking pipes bookmarked. And whenever new stuff comes in, I just find myself really attracted to it, and I probably buy more than I should. I remember telling my buddy, I said, well, I have 7 now, so that's one for every day of the week, and now here we are with 11, and they all smoke so well, and it's great now because I have different Iaconos from the different tobacco blends, even though I am primarily an English smoker.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we'll talk about tobacco storage. We'll talk about a podcast that you're involved in, I promise. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Since its beginnings in 1876, Savinelli has become more than just a pipe factory. It's become a lifestyle. From sourcing the finest Mediterranean briar and partnering with local artisans to acquire unique accents, to expanding their catalog each year with new innovative series. Savinelli produces high-quality Italian pipes that serve as a reflection of your individual tastes. With a portfolio that ranges from rugged designs fit for the outdoors to elegant pieces destined for black tie galas, Savinelli is more than a mark. They're a way to help you make your mark.
We are back on the Pipes Magazine radio show, visiting with the journeyman IT guy that is Dylan Schlender. See, I said it again the right way.
You nailed it. You're crushing it.
Yeah. All right. So tobacco-wise, so you found your sweet spot in those Balkans. Have you started aging and storing and overbuying on tobaccos?
You will be happy to know, yes, because Yay. One of the first pieces of advice I've heard on your show that I really took to heart was, when you find a blend you like, buy a lot of it because you don't know how it's going to last. And funny enough, when I heard that, I bought like almost 10 tins of Dunhill Nightcap, and then Dunhill announced, you know, they weren't going to be doing the tobacco. And that was before we knew Peterson was going to get them. So I felt really smart having those. So I've got a big mason jar just full of Dunhill Nightcap that I have put back. You know, I've smoked the Peterson Nightcap. I'm not sophisticated enough to tell you if there's much of a difference with the Peterson branding versus the Dunhill branding. But if someone was really interested in the Dunhill, I do have that. And one of my favorites, so you will like this. I opened up a aged Virginia, actually, a Virginia base. It was Cornell and Deal's Golden Days of Yore. I got that a few Christmases back, I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I let it age that time, and I opened it up for this Christmas to smoke, and it came out really good, actually. So I was very pleased with that. Yeah.
So you are noticing the difference in a blend if you give it a couple of years to sit and.
Yeah, I would say so. Yes, that was something too. I have to admit, I was always skeptical about in getting into the hobby when people talking about like, oh, like you got to buy three and put two back, and I was just like, man, I just. Because I smoke fast too, you know, so like I'm just burning down the bowl like a chimney. And I was like, man, I really got to like sit on this stuff for a year. But then I did find out you just start buying so much tobacco, like you couldn't smoke at all if you wanted to. So even at the rate I smoke, I accidentally age things for a couple of years now because I just buy too much.
So is smoking an everyday thing for you, or is it all day?
Well, when the weather's better, I will probably smoke my pipe every morning. I really like smoking my pipe in the morning. In the evening, I might prefer a cigar. But even then, I've just been trending towards my pipes so much. So almost every morning, I would say I smoke a pipe. And then when the weather is better and it's like more summer, fall. Like the winters in New England are brutal, and it's not because of the cold, it's because of the wind. You know, I just can't keep the pipe lit and the matches lit, and I got to like wear gloves because my hands get chilly, you know? So, So it's just not worth it. But during the summer, I'll sit outside on my front deck smoking my pipe all day, and it's absolutely wonderful.
Bring your laptop, and your office is outside then.
I know. This is why I'm trying to transition into deeper management roles, because then you trade the laptop for a cell phone, you know?
Oh, no, a mobile device.
And then yes, you're exactly.
Yeah. All right. So before the break, you mentioned that you're starting to dedicate certain pipes to certain blends.
Yes.
Are these all in the Balkan range, or are you dedicating them out? You know, are you dabbling outside, or are you getting really nerdy and specific to say, this English goes in this pipe and this English goes in that pipe?
I wish you didn't say it was nerdy, but it is the second one.
you're an IT guy. Come on.
Yeah, no, you've got my number. What could I say? So I would say about half of my Yaconos are dedicated to Balkan or English blends that I have pretty dedicated. The biggest example is that Volcano. I only smoke Cornell and Deal Sunset Harbor Flake in there. And I really only smoke it on Sunday. And actually, the newest Yocono I just got a couple days ago, I decided I was going to start breaking that in with Sunset Harbor Flake as well, because I realize if I only smoke it out of one pipe, I can't smoke it as much, right? So now I can cycle them back and forth. And then I would say the other Yoconos I have dedicated to, I like the old dark-fired Kentucky, like the McBaron Flake. Country Squire makes a really good one called Cowboy Coffee. And actually, their newest blend that had some Old Dark Fire in it, Yazoo Witch, is really, really good. I don't know if they're still selling that. I don't know how much I can promote Country Squire on the show.
You can talk about anything you want to because you're the guest.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. And so, and then another one that I've really favored, and actually this is what I smoked before the show, and it's one of my few billiards. I said, I'm going to smoke my billiard so I can think more like how Brian thinks because you're always smoking billiards. And I have a really nice Yocono olive wood billiard, and I was smoking Cornell and Diehl's Easy Times out of that, and that is rapidly becoming one of my favorite tobaccos. So,
Well, don't get that far. That's the end of the show.
Yeah. Oh, well, no. I know. I'm saving that, I suppose. But discerning listeners could probably put together the list at this point. But yeah, that's so I do dedicate them. I try to keep the blends the same. And then since I know what I like for Bulkins and English blends, that's where I do get a little more granular and say, like, this one's just for Nightcap. This one's just for Sunset Harbor Flake. This one's just for Squadron Leader. This one's just for Bulkin Sassini, you know, and on and on. Right. Whereas with like the Old Dark Fire, it's like I don't mind mixing that up so much. Like I've got a nice big Dublin Sitter Yocono that's really good for the McBaron Flake, but it's also really good putting like the Cowboy Coffee in as well.
That's when you're feeling a little slutty, then you go to those easy pipes that you can put anything in.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Sorry. That's where my mind went. I'm still stuck on Southern Fantasy.
I was going to say the Southern Fantasy again. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So 5+ years of pipe smoking now. What is the holy grail? Money's no object. I'm no longer doing IT. I'm the CEO of the company. What is that pipe look like to you? Which one is it?
Man, well, that is such a good question. I really respect the history of the pipe smoking culture and some of the really famous carvers that there have been, you know, and I say that, and now his name I just lost it. The guy who was known for making the blowfishes, and they only really sold in Japan because he sold them for like thousands of dollars. What?
Or Lars Everson.
Everson, yes. So I would get that just for bragging rights, I think. But so that would be that. But maybe I would just like hire out Yocono to just make me pipes personally. Like he just ships them directly to my house instead of going through smokingpipes.com.
Even better, you just take the private corporate jet over to Italy and pick out what he's got on the bench.
Just hang out at his shop.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd like hanging out with me, but.
Well, I also happen to know from chatting with you that you like coffee. So I'm pretty sure Italian espressos sitting there and looking at pipes on his bench would be a nice afternoon.
You know what? That's the vacation. I'm going to get that on the books. That would be great.
Yeah. And don't forget to bring the family.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Oh, hey, and I could get cannolis there, too. Oh, I don't know if we recorded the cannoli stuff, but...
No, we didn't record the cannoli stuff. We were talking about desserts. Yeah. All right. Any other hobbies that keep you busy outside of family and work and pipe smoking?
Well, I have two other passions. I love powerlifting. I love working out. And then I also have a podcast that I do, that I know you're aware of. And it's not just even making my own podcast. I just love listening to other podcasts as well. So I really like being, in that podcast community for sure.
So let's talk about the Reels of Justice. Cause unfortunately there's a bad episode coming up shortly.
No, it was great. It was great. So, the show that I host or co-host, actually, if I could tell a funny little aside.
Yeah.
I was blurbed on the back of a book that our good friend historian Jeremy Black wrote about James Bond. And the publisher listed me as the host of the Reels of Justice. And the guys have been giving me crap about it ever since. So I am a co-host. It's a four-man show. And every week we put a movie on trial to determine if it's guilty of being a bad movie. And we always have a special guest on, and our fantastic host of this podcast that you're listening to now, Brian Levine, was on, and he did a great job talking about Vegas Vacation.
I lost. You know,
and I know. I feel terrible because honestly, I didn't think that movie was. We've talked about some really bad movies like The Eternals, Freddy Got Fingered. I mean, those are guilty movies. I don't think Vegas Vacation was that bad, you know. But we have a new episode every week. We always have a guest, and I'm very proud of the fact that we haven't missed an episode since our inception. We got started back in I think it was June 2020. Very, very, very first episode. We had Kirk Thatcher on to talk about the Woody Allen Casino Royale. And Kirk Thatcher, he's worked with the Muppets. He directed that Muppet Haunted Mansion movie. He's a good buddy of Maynard. So he was kind of our first big guest that we had on. And we've had just some amazing people on. Obviously, we've had Brian Levine, cultural luminary. You know, yeah. But we've had, like, Simon Majumdar's been on 4 times. He's the All Over Food Network and Tournament of Champions and stuff now. But honestly, I think, you know, one of my heroes, William F. Buckley Jr., said to include is to exclude. So I can't just list off every single guest we ever had. Yeah. So I apologize in advance. But I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the special relationship we've developed with historian Jeremy Black. And for those who don't know, Jeremy Black is the most prolific historian possibly of all time. He has 182 books.
Oh, God.
And I know. And he's absolutely brilliant. But as smart and charming as he is just so funny, too. So he comes on our show maybe at least once a month. He always wants to do head-to-head. So we put two movies against each other. And like he wanted to do Frozen versus Maleficent once. He's done Napoleon versus King Kong. And he just has a blast doing it.
Wait, 5 foot tall versus not 5 foot tall.
Yeah, no, exactly. The poster we made for that one is hilarious, actually. When that might be out by the time this is out. I'd have to check the schedule. But he's great, and he actually came to America, and Maynard and I went to New York to meet him and hang out with him for a little bit. And that's just one of the neat things about podcasting. It has a way of connecting so many interesting people with each other, you know? Like, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, you know? It's just, it's extraordinary, the people you meet. I've made so many great friends, and we've cultivated excellent relationships through this strange new medium of podcasting. You know, it still feels new, even though it has been around forever. It's really neat.
I can tell you so the podcast, it's called Reels, R-E-E-L-S of Justice. And it's really fun. It's just, you might learn, you'll probably learn something, but you'll definitely laugh. And I don't want to say this out loud, but they put a ton more work into their show than I do into this. I mean, that's a lot of, so congratulations. Getting back to pipe stuff, I allowed you, therefore.
The privilege, of course.
Yes, well, while I allow you the privilege of appearing in front of me, you can bring forth your dumb wanting knowledge of questions. So I offered you the chance to bring some questions to me. What would you like to ask?
And I love it. And everyone should know, too, that Brian was so generous with his time, too, on Reels. When we were done recording, like, we hung out, and I asked you a bunch of questions there. But so my first question for you, Brian, pipe culture, I think, in my view, it's in a very interesting spot right now because there are a lot of old guard types, but there's also a lot of new guys coming into the hobby. And maybe we're at a parity now, like it could be balanced. But as the old guard kind of starts to fade away, what are newer developments you're excited for? But what are some things you would want the young bucks to maintain or not lose sight of?
So the transition that we're going through with the old guard, and I'm probably the end of the old guard.
That's kind of, I saw you as kind of having 1 foot in each world, to be honest with you. I really did.
That's better than 1 foot in the grave. I got a split personality, so that's fine. Yeah, I can be in two worlds.
There you go.
So there's, I'm old enough to remember being able to smoke your pipe anywhere and walk around in a building, or go to a restaurant or a bar and sit and smoke at the bar, you know. Mm-hmm. And some of you younger guys, and you're not exactly the youngest I've ever had on the show, but you know, some of you young guys can never imagine sitting at a dinner and smoking. Yeah, never saw it. Just didn't see it. So there's a transition that's happening, and this is the transition that I'm excited for. It's going from it went from a very high consumer product to now a luxury lifestyle product. So, and what I mean by luxury lifestyle, it's like you have a pipe that you have dedicated to a blend, and you look forward to that with your morning coffee, and then after that, you don't smoke all day. That's a luxury moment. It's the same thing as, like, you know, I'm holding up in my hand a cup of coffee that's almost done, but I've had to cut down from 12 cups of coffee a day, or a full pot, you know, to three or four. Well, the three or four cups of coffee that I have now cost way more than that pot of coffee cost to make before, but it's much better. So this is the exciting part for me, is that you younger crew that are coming in, I'm more excited about you smoking three or four or five times a week than I am about you smoking three or four or five times a day, because you're more excited about your one bowl than I am about my four or five during the day.
Okay.
So that's the exciting part. You're more knowledgeable than we ever were. You're more in tune with what, you know, with all the, with, you know, all the nuances, and, oh, I'm smelling amber and a little hint of Meriwether and her three sisters, Bobby Sue.
Three sisters, Bobby Sue.
Yeah. Did that answer that?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. The second part, though, like, what do you want to make sure that the new guys don't lose sight of, though? Like, what do you want to make sure doesn't get lost during this transition?
The history. The history,
I agree.
The history of who made what, and how this came to be and that came to be, and the what I like, you know, you're talking about olive wood pipes. Well, 99% of the people that come on here talk about briar. Mm-hmm. But don't forget there's other materials. You know, up until the 1860s, most pipes were clay or porcelain or meerschaum, and this briar thing is relatively a newfangled experience, you know. So, you know, never lose. And I guess this is here's a political statement.
Okay.
Don't clean up or whitewash history. Leave history the way it is. Let history be as dirty as it is, and learn it and understand it and keep learning it so that we don't do it again.
Brian, you're so good at this. It's like you knew the next question I was going to ask.
What's the next question? Said,
it dovetails into it perfectly. What are some areas of pipe or tobacco history you'd like to know more about, and how can we encourage more independent research and documentation about pipe history?
I would love to know more about the growing side, and who decided that Virginias are going to, you know, that Virginias are good, and who decided that, wait, Virginias grow well in North Carolina. I'd like to. There is so much that is not told about the tobacco side, because the tobacco growers' side is a relatively closed-lip, secret society thing, and they just don't talk about it. I would love to, on a bigger scale, I would love to go back in time and smack some cigarette company CEOs in the head for the way they handled stuff when the anti-smoking thing came up, because they just all kind of rolled over and said, okay, we'll comply. Sorry. You know?
Yeah.
And then stand up a little bit for, I'd like to be able to sit there and say, wait, smoking's a choice and I choose to enjoy it. Leave me the hell alone. Yeah.
Yeah, man, if only, right?
Yeah.
Actually, another piece of it, so, like, I guess the next question, too, is, you touched on this a little bit, is it okay that pipe smoking is not popular? And should it be striving to be popular? Think of, like, in the vein of cigar smoking, like when the the cigar boom of like the 90s never really ended. You know, should pipes strive for something like that, or should they be happy being niche?
They should be happy being an interesting little corner of the internet. The bigger you get, you run into more problems. The cigar world went through a really painful expansion and boom, and then there was a bust. And the bust problem was that, you know, you had all these people come rushing into the business. I'm Don Hoo-Hoo, and here's my cigar, and it's brown. And I put a band on it that's pretty. You'll love it.
Yeah.
You know, my family goes back 17 generations in Cuba.
They smuggled the seeds out in their shoe, you know. Yeah,
they were sugarcane farmers and fishermen, but they went back 17 generations in Cuba. No, I would actually rather that pipe smoking be a smaller and more dedicated group than have to go through one of those painful boom and bust periods. And we couldn't handle it. There's just, you know, there's a lot of Mother Nature involved when you're looking at the raw wood materials for the pipes, and then you're looking at the tobacco and the processing and the time of it and getting the right tobacco. The worst thing that would happen during a boom is that we wouldn't be able to buy any pipes, and the tobacco we'd get would be crap.
Yeah. The industry does seem to have an element of fragility to it. You know, it especially over the last few years, it kind of feels like it's always walking on this edge, but that just could be because we're so plugged in and nerdy about it. I'm sure there's people who are out there just enjoying their pipe just fine, right?
No, I mean, that, you know, that's the comment that I've made in the past is that if you look at the tobacco industry as a whole, cigarettes are the elephant. The cigars are a mouse riding on the back of the elephant. And then the pipe tobacco is a flea on the mouse on the elephant. And when somebody shoots and kills the elephant, nobody notices that they squashed the mouse and killed the flea. So, it is. It's a small group. I mean, when you think about coming up as the Chicago Pipe Show, and that's the biggest gathering of pipe smokers in the world at one time, and there might be, you know, 1,200, 1,400, 1,500 people there. There's pen collectors clubs that are bigger than that.
Yeah, we could not fill a stadium, I guess, huh?
Yeah. So no, it is. It's a fragile, dedicated little group. So yeah.
All right. I got two more questions for you.
Okay. Rapid fire.
All right. You often remark about smoking your pipe in public. What is the funniest, rudest, and/or most memorable reaction you have gotten?
Funniest, rudest. Depending on where you are, you get the anti-smoker walking by going. Whatever. You know, take your 300-pound ass and waddle on down the road. You know. Go load up on cholesterol. Leave me alone.
All right. And then my last one, just to show you that I did my research, is the Prince still your least favorite shape?
Any of those little squat pot things, short bowls. I get them lit, and then 10 minutes later, they're over. Why? You know.
All right.
Although, like we found out with Vegas Vacation, thankfully it was short.
I know that. I'm very inclined to vote not guilty on a movie that's under 2 hours in this day and age.
Yeah, you know, it left us wanting more and not sitting there. It went on too long. So, all right, Dylan, we'll wrap this up with the fast five final questions. No right answer, no wrong answer, just whatever comes to your mind. Are you ready?
I am ready, sir. I'm excited.
Which one is your favorite Tenino Yakano pipe?
My favorite Yakano pipe it's got to be the Volcano Olive Wood Sitter. I struggled over thinking about it, but that's the one at the end of the day.
And what is your favorite tobacco?
Favorite tobacco? I still got to give it to Nightcap. I just love everything about it. I know it's cliche and lots of people like it, but there's a reason, because it's really good.
Well, Mike Murphy will be happy to hear it's not Sunset Harbor Flake, and you won't be stealing all that from him.
It's a close number two, though, so he should watch out.
Uh-oh. Well, he doesn't really smoke anyway. What is your favorite drink?
Got to go with black coffee or club soda with a little bit of lime.
When it's time to relax, do you prefer a book, a podcast about movies, or music?
You said relax.
Yeah.
I love listening to classical music. I'm a bit of a hipster. I have a record player in my room that I put a good classical album on. That's the best way to relax.
Nerd.
I know. I'm really, really telling on myself a lot this episode.
Yeah. And then finally, a favorite pipe smoking related memory.
Wow. Okay. So my favorite pipe smoking related memory would be I was a member of a Facebook group, and one of the guys on there, he was having a rough time during the pandemic, and he mentioned like smoking a pipe in passing. And so I reached out to him, and he's like, oh, I actually don't have a pipe anymore, you know, but it was just something I've always thought about smoking. And so I sent him, I actually sent him one of my pipes. I sent him a Jaws bent bulldog that I don't care for the bulldog shape actually at all. And I was like, well, maybe he could get something out of it. And so the two of us just started a pipe club on that Facebook group, and we've been pretty close ever since. And it was all because of us getting to know each other over the pipe. So I really like that.
All right. The podcast again is Reels of Justice. Go listen. It's just fun, and you'll learn something. Dylan, thank you very much for coming on here. Thanks for putting up with me calling you a nerd one more time.
Hey, well, I can't be mad if it's true. Thank you so much, Brian. Love the show. This was a real honor.
And we'll be back in just a minute.
Being at the forefront of craft tobacco production for over 20 years, we've been involved in some rather interesting projects at Cornell & Deal. From the Cellar Series to the Small Batch Project, we're extremely proud of how far we've come. So moving forward, we wanted to take it back to basics, and that's what the Burley Flake series is all about. Burley is an underrated varietal, but there is a ton of nuance there. Using various condimental tobaccos to accentuate different aspects of the air-cured leaf, each blend in this series is intended to showcase different individual subtleties inherent to Burley. It's a simple concept, one that I think really speaks to the essence of what we do at C&D, as a crew of folks who just love tobacco. It's also really good. Cornell & Deal's Burley Flakes series, wherever fine tobaccos are sold.
This is Internet Radio.
And we are back. And I had a good time hanging out with Dylan and the guys from Reels of Justice, and had a good time recording with them. So check out the podcast. All right, for music, I'm just in a mood for Louis Armstrong. That's all I can say. That's it. That's what you get. When I'm in the mood for Louis, you get Satchmo.
Sunshine, oh, that's where you are. Where there's laughter, then you can't be far. You in my dreams every night. Oh, how I long to hold you tight. I need you, I'll follow you, dear, from here to a star. Your lips are honey, but sweeter by far. From now till forever, I'll keep dreaming of you and the sunshine of love.
Sunshine of love.
Well, there's sunshine. Oh, that's where you are. Where there's laughter, then you can't be far. Yes, you in my dreams every night. How I long. Do I hold you tight? I follow you, dear. here to a star. Your lips are honey, but sweeter by far. Yes, now till forever, I'll keep dreaming of you in the sunshine of love. Pretty sunset, pretty sunset, sunset, sunset. Bye-bye, dog, yes, love.
I just feel better listening to that, and hopefully some of you in the cold weather climes that don't have a little sunshine in your life right now, well, now you got a little sunshine.
Three little words. You've got mail.
Mailbag comments or questions can be emailed to me, brian@pipesmagazine.com, brian@pipesmagazine.com, or you can post them on the Pipes Magazine Radio Show page on pipesmagazine.com. But before we get to those, let's get to some Apple podcast reviews. We got three of them that came in around the end of February, so thank you very much. The first one comes from The Truth About YouTube, and it says, 5 stars, top tier podcast about pipe tobacco. And his comment is, for current topics on pipes and pipe tobacco, this is where you want to go. God bless and smoke on. Thank you very much. And then At Noah's House writes, so interesting, great episode. I could listen to Jeremy talk tobacco all day. He has so much knowledge. It's amazing. That must have gone back. Boy, I wonder what he thought of last week's. And then finally, Johnny Waken via Apple Podcasts says, look forward to every episode, 5 stars. And he says, hi, Brian. I just wanted to thank you for your rant last week. It was by far the best I've heard on your show. Unfortunately, I find myself unfollowing presenters, influencers that promote hate or ignorance of human affairs. When you began, I must say I cringed, but was very elated to find that you're not only a gentleman and a professional, but someone I respect and admire. Thanks for speaking up about this sadly controversial topic in our world today. Happy pipe smoking, Johnny Waken. Johnny, thank you very much. And I guess you're referring to the use of the word woke. and as I've always said, listen, if you are a pipe smoker and you smoke tobacco in your pipe, you're a friend of mine. I don't care what kind of pipe it is. I don't care what kind of pipe tobacco it is. As long as you enjoy it, you're a friend of mine. Doesn't matter what color, shape, size, or origin you come from. You're a friend of mine. There you go. Unless you're a weenie, then you're not a friend of mine. But thank you. All right. And Dino says, going back to last week's show, I enjoyed your Red Sato collection segment. Beautiful pipes and good stories. Jeremy delivered an absolute masterclass of information about tobacco and particularly the Oriental varieties. Both of you guys were able to damn near help me taste your description of these tobaccos. Nice job. Glad you liked it. Great tune by Papa Chubby, Bronx-born Ted Horowitz, who is a terrific blues guitarist. Ted Horowitz, I wonder if he's a cousin of mine. As to your rant, my yaya would say you are such a schlamazel. Yeah, thanks for a wonderful show, Dino. And Dino, thanks for putting words in your writing that make me stumble. You always do that. I love you. Casey Ghost says, good show, though not great. Your Sato Red Collection rundown was quite informative. The reason you gave for why you smoke these pipes was very clear. The pipes were pictured, which was very nice, and I could see myself enjoying 2 or 3 of the pipes very easily. In describing the various Orientals and describing the various tastes was where you lost me. I was listening to this going by my one taste bud with a puzzled expression on his face saying, you're talking to me. you can keep Papa Chubby. The rant captured my life in a nutshell. I am forever forgetting something. Yeah, Yeah. Got to get a new routine. Yeah. R.M. Bittner says, as someone who really enjoys Orientals, I like this episode a lot, but I feel like Papa Chubby would lose a lawsuit if Brian Setzer heard this song. It feels like a light rewrite of his big band version of Rock This Town. Yeah. Eventually, listen, all music's going to be a rewrite because there's really only 7 chords out there and everything, most songs are a 3-chord progression. So you got somebody do the math for me. You got 7 by 3 divided into something and multiplied by that and this, and you only got that many combinations. So there you go. I heard Garth Brooks talk about that. The performance was fantastic. Renfield says, another great show. Orientals have the most to offer in terms of subtlety and variety, and Jeremy did a good job of illustrating that. If you'd like to see what it takes to raise Oriental Leaf, check out the documentary Tobacco Girl, linked below. It's about a 14-year-old girl living in the mountains of Macedonia working on their family tobacco farm. The main focus is on the girl's story, but everything from growing to selling the crop is shown. Short but fascinating, Renfield. And he put a link to it. So go to the forums, go down to Pipes Magazine Radio Show, and you'll see the link there. JB Frady says, if you're looking to become rather informed on some intriguing shit, you'll likely never get to try. This interview is for you, but for real, great talk. And then finally, Mrs. Pickle says, what a gem of a discussion, both so detailed and so frank. From the outside, it seems like the tobacco industry can be pretty secretive about topics like this, which makes Jeremy's willingness to discuss C&D's inventory of Oriental tobaccos and the complexities of sourcing them all the more extraordinary. Brian, thanks for putting Jeremy on the spot with those samples of straight Oriental leaf and giving him a little extra airtime to really geek out. Holy Moses, he didn't disappoint. No, he didn't. This interview answered a lot of questions I had about Oriental tobaccos. Some of them I've wondered about for years, not at least of which was how to pronounce Yanigi. Yeah, Y-N-I-D-J-D-G-D-J-E. Can't even spell it. Yanigi. P.S. The discussion of Black Sea Sokoum here calls to mind Brian's interview with Mike McNeil several years ago. I could be misremembering this, but I think Mike described the character of Syrian Sheikh Al-Bent before it went through the Latakia process as being very similar to the funky Black Sea Sokoum. Wild stuff. Yeah. Well, there you go. All right. Again, comments, questions, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. Keep those Apple Podcasts ratings and reviews going and the Spotify 5-star things. I still can't figure out how to read the comments if there are any. So if you're leaving them, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. And in just a moment, Rant Time Part 2 coming up next.
For over 150 years, Peterson has welcomed all pipe smokers. It's the preferred choice of the thinking man and the everyman alike, and our workshop too is a place of hospitality and warmth. Hi, I'm Glenn Whelan, and for me, Peterson is a family tradition I've known since my childhood. My dad, Tony Whelan Jr., worked at Peterson for 53 years and has been my home since 2003. From sweeping our factory on a Saturday morning, to managing our store, to now steering our international distribution, I've seen the craftsmanship poured into each Peterson pipe. It lives in Jason's discerning eye as he handcrafts our silver accents and in Wojciech's able hands as he carves our rustications. It abides in Willie's grading and in Warren's papering. Peterson has welcomed us as contributors to its legacy, and it's a welcome we always extend to you. Cade Mila Falja, 100,000 welcomes, wherever you come from, whosoever you be.
There's nothing quite like hunting at dawn or smoking my genuine Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipe. An American legend since 1869. It's the coolest, smoothest pipe I've ever owned. Check them out at corncobpipe.com.
Cowboy. Cowboy.
Yeah.
And here we go for the much anticipated part two, or the rave portion of the rant from last week. So I'm sitting at the airport, and the first thing I do is I look up tobacco shops in the area, and there's a couple in the area, and I could get to one possibly maybe the next morning, and I was looking at their inventory online. And then I thought to myself, all right, it's about 2:35, I'm sitting here in the airport, you know, I bet smoking pipes could ship one to my hotel. So I go on to Smoking Pipes, and I'd had a couple of pipes kind of bookmarked or hanging out in my cart as pipes that I wanted to buy. I was in currently I was not looking to buy any more pipes because of, you know, everything with all the work going on at the house and everything, and, you know, budget kind of allocated to that, and I really wasn't thinking of buying any new pipes. But then I thought, well, wait a second. Let's see, instead of kind of cramping our schedule for the next day, maybe if I went on Smoking Pipes, I could pick out a pipe that I wanted and have them ship it. Now, their cutoff for shipping is at 3 o'clock, all right? 3 o'clock Eastern time. I call them at 2:35 and said, hi, this is me. Just grabbed the first person in customer service and said, you know, I'm looking at this pipe, but I'm traveling. Could you overnight it to my hotel if I give you the hotel address? And this is on a Thursday, so it can arrive on Friday. And they said, sure, I will make sure that we get it out there. And he said, you know, 95% chance it'll make it because of the cutoff for first class. So long story short, thank you to smokingpipes.com, because my brand new pipe arrived to me the next day, right before, you know, got it right before dinner time at the hotel, and was able to smoke my pipe the next day after dinner. And so there you go. There's how maybe I subconsciously screwed up so that I could buy a new pipe for me. But anyway, I added a new pipe to the collection, and Smoking Pipes was able to ship it to me the next day, and I was able to smoke it those 3 days that we were up there. So thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for also still having a couple of pipes that I wanted to add to my collection in your stock. So there you go. All right. Again, please keep sharing out the Pipes Magazine Radio Show to all your friends, family, enemies, you know, all those people. iTunes ratings and reviews, much, much, much appreciated. Thank you to Chuck Stanion in the Daily Reader for allowing me to read that article. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all. Thank you very much to Dylan for joining me. Thank you all for tuning in, and until next time.
About the clouds when we're together, just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
Strike, strike, we want to strike, strike, strike.